Hello, friends. You're listening to the Mighty Warriors podcast, a podcast dedicated to inspire and encourage you to experience a deeper intimacy with God and to be transformed by His Word in your everyday life. I'm your host, Colette Crea, and today in episode 38, we will close in on our journey with Joseph. So stay tuned. Hello, Mighty Warriors. It is good to be back. I took a vacation last week. It was very, very impromptu. I didn't know I was going to do that. And so I missed being here with you. And I hope you'll forgive me. I must say that I did enjoy my vacation. I hadn't been home for my birthday for so many years. And so it was very special to be home and celebrate my birthday and take some time to rest was fantastic. I hope you had a wonderful week. And so here we are. We are back at the Mighty Warriors podcast, the place where we go over the Bible to understand the story of humanity and how we fit within the story and what God's plans and purposes are for us. So I'll go ahead and summarize what happened in our previous episode. When the severe famine reached the land of Canaan as well, Joseph's brothers headed for Egypt. They never imagined that Joseph was alive. It had been 13 years, and they had not seen him or heard from him. In fact, when they were in his presence, they did not recognize him. But here was Joseph as the governor of the land of Egypt, and just as Joseph had seen it in his dreams 13 years prior, his brothers were bowing down before him. And so in the end, Joseph's dreams did come to pass. After stretching and testing them to see how much they loved their youngest brother, Benjamin, and if they would do to him what they had done to him, Joseph got moved by the way they were ready to do anything to protect Benjamin and not see their father go through the grief that had marked his life since the disappearance of Joseph. Right there and then, Joseph revealed his identity. They were stunned. But he assured them that no harm would come to them because he had understood that all had happened the way it did because God has sent him ahead of them to preserve a remnant on earth and to save their lives by a great deliverance. The brothers returned home to Canaan with great news for their father that Joseph was still alive and, in fact, the governor of the land of Egypt. When Jacob saw the carts that Joseph had provided to move them to Egypt and heard everything his sons were relating pertaining to their journey to Egypt and all that had happened, his spirit revived, and he was convinced that indeed Joseph was still alive. This is where we ended our previous episode. As with every journey that we have seen before, Joseph's story is coming to an end, but it cannot end without Jacob and Joseph reuniting. So I would like to start by reading Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 and 2, a crucial time as God gives his approval for Jacob and his family to move to Egypt. And it says, "So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said,
Jacob, Jacob.
Here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again, and Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. So Jacob and his entire family, his sons, their wives, their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, all went to Egypt. Jacob was 130 years old when he arrived in Egypt. In Genesis 46, verses 28 and 29, we read, Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive. Joseph introduced his father and five of his brothers to Pharaoh, and they were invited to live in the land of Goshen. The famine continued to its full 7-year term, but it was so severe that during that time, when the people had no more money to purchase grain, they sold their livestock and then their land. Eventually, they volunteered to sell themselves, reducing themselves to servitude so they could be provided for and survive. In Genesis chapter 47, verses 28 through 30, we are told that Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the year of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt, but when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. Before his death, Jacob blessed Joseph's children. He, in fact, blessed the younger Ephraim over the elder Manasseh, which did upset Joseph. Jacob gave a prophetic word to each of his sons and then got into his bed and passed away. So Joseph and his brothers carried out their father's last wishes and buried him in the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Rebekah, and Leah were also buried. With Pharaoh's approval, Joseph went up to bury his father. In fact, Jacob had a burial fit for a king, as Pharaoh's officials and dignitaries accompanied Joseph and his family to Hebron. The last chapter in Genesis, which is chapter 50, concludes Joseph's story. After their father's death, Joseph's brothers started to fear for their lives, thinking that now that the father was dead, Joseph would take revenge in full force. But here is what we read in Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all of his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110. And after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. In previous episodes, we learned so much about how Joseph handled the adversities in his life. Now we have seen how God used the good and the bad to still bring about a good outcome. And it's encouraging. Friends, no matter what you're facing right now, I'd like to share 3 points to encourage you in your journey. It might help you in your current adversity, or if anything, it will help you encourage others or get prepared for any adversities that might come your way in the future. Number one, bad things do happen to good people. I know, it might not sound as encouraging as you expected, but it's meant to be encouraging. In a sense that, once you understand why bad things do happen to good and innocent people, your perspective will change. Rather than being angry and bitter about the situation, you will actually be tolerant and a little bit more patient as you go through the hardship with a spirit of perseverance and endurance, because your perspective will be a godly perspective, a perspective that comes through God's eyes, through God's lenses, because you will understand better the reason why it's happening. I don't have the answers for every single tragedy and problem that is happening in your life or in the life of your loved ones. But here is one thing that I know for sure. Many of us know good people who are challenged by one trial after another. And it is most difficult to see good people, people we know, go through suffering. During that time, it is hard to hold on to our faith. What can we do to keep our faith in those times? First, as fatalistic as it will sound, we need to understand that bad things happen because we live in a fallen world. If you have been with us from the very beginning up until this episode, you have come to understand that it was not God's original plan for us to live in a world where everything goes wrong. God made Adam and Eve rulers of this world with free will and authority to choose between life and death. However, they made a deadly choice. Rather than choose life,
they chose death. By listening and submitting to Satan rather than God, they, in other terms, relinquished their authority to Satan, whom is described in the Word as the God of this world, and God with a small g as it is. Is this the answer then? Is there no hope at all? There is hope. Because even though bad things happen to good people, to innocent people, we are reminded in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that God makes all things work for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Yes, it is hard to see how God allows painful situations to take their course, but in the end, God has always a plan. For instance, with Adam and Eve, even though their choice was deadly, because they had free will and that they made their choice, it was not without God's grace that He didn't bring about a solution through Messiah Jesus. The same with Joseph. He was hated by his brothers. He was rejected even by his father when he shared his dream with him and his siblings. He was thrown into a pit, was falsely accused in prison. God allowed that to take its course. But we are reminded, God was with him. And in the end, even Joseph understood that it was for a greater outcome, a greater deliverance, a deliverance of not only the people of Egypt, but the people of Canaan. So it is with your life. It might be very difficult for you to see or understand why things are going the way they are, or why God allowed it to take place. But I want to assure you that God will not abandon you. He has a plan, and in the end, it will all work for your good. Even with the story of humankind, God allowed everything to take its course because He already knew what would occur and had already anticipated a solution for our redemption, our deliverance, our salvation through Messiah Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says that the reason the Son of God, meaning Jesus, appeared was to destroy the devil's work. What is the devil's work? As we read in the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." The devil comes to steal what does not belong to him, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus gives us life in all its fullness. Number two, let your setbacks become stepping stones. When we experience setbacks, we tend to be very discouraged, depressed, because setbacks come at very unexpected times and crushed expectations breed disappointments. However, what if you made up your mind to look at setbacks in a total different light? I know it is painful to even take time to pause and think when you are hurt. I've been there. I've been stuck in bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, you name it. It was my daily grind to have to fight these emotions that were really killing me slowly. And the only escape I had was sleep, because through sleep, I felt that I would experience no pain. But as soon as I woke up, the pain was still there. I had a very hard time seeing that I could move forward because I was just stuck and I didn't want to let go. But please listen to me for just a moment, because I want you to look at Joseph's life and be encouraged by it. If you have listened to all the previous episodes, you remember what he went through. If you haven't, and this is your first time joining us right here in episode 38, I would like to urge you to also take some time later on to listen from episodes 34 through this episode 38 to get an overview of everything that Joseph has gone through and how he handled the adversities in his life. In a nutshell, Joseph was thrown in a pit by his brothers who hated him. That was quite a setback. But worse yet, he was sold by his very own brothers to become a slave in Egypt. This, we could say, was the unimaginable setback. And for Joseph, rather than remain in his little corner and wallow in self-pity, in whatever situation Joseph was in, he showed himself to be trustworthy and faithful. And he prospered to the point that he was noticed by his master, Potiphar, who saw that everything he did prospered, as we read in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. So what did Potiphar do? He actually promoted him to become his attendant and then put him in charge of his household and everything he owned. But Joseph experienced an injustice, a false accusation of sexual harassment by Potiphar's wife, her words against his. And of course, she won. His credibility and reputation was tarnished, and he was thrown in prison. We can definitely call that a setback. But what happened then? Joseph thrived. In the midst of this setback, the jailer found Joseph to be trustworthy, and he saw once again, like Potiphar had, that God's hand was on him, and so he put him in charge of everything. When Joseph accurately interpreted the chief baker's dream and that he was released, as predicted, Joseph had a glimmer of hope that he too would probably be delivered very soon. Nonetheless, Joseph was completely forgotten, and for 2 long years he waited. That was surely a setback as well. But then one day, he was summoned by Pharaoh, and the greatest promotion came his way. He became governor of the land of Egypt. Mighty warriors, I do not know what situation you're facing, but I want to say to you, let your setbacks become stepping stones. Maybe you're facing a breakup, a tragedy, the death of a loved one or a friend, or you're facing crushed expectations, which do hurt deeply as well. My friend, I know it hurts, but know this, you will not remain in that pit indefinitely. That setback will become a stepping stone if you allow it to. I know it seems inconceivable that in the midst of pain and grief, anything good could come out of it. But trust me, trust what I have just shared with you concerning the life of Joseph. If you place your faith in God and desire Him to be part of your story, call on the Lord and share your frustrations with Him, and allow Him, let Him bring comfort and help. He will manifest His presence. God does not abandon His children. Your circumstance might be overwhelming, painful, that your judgment or understanding of God's nature is clouded by negative emotions. But know one thing, all things will turn out for good in the end. God is working, and in the end, you will be able to testify like Joseph by saying, "Satan, you intended to harm me, but God used every single one of your evil schemes and turned it all for good." Or you might reflect on your circumstance and say, "God, what I went through was so painful. I didn't know I was going to come out of it. But now I see everything so clearly. Thank you for having worked everything for good." Number 3, remember that God is a promise keeper. We have seen it countless of times before, and it is always good for us to remind ourselves that Kip keeps his word, because sometimes we forget. I know I forget. When I find myself in very challenging circumstances, my judgments can be clouded by my emotions or my circumstances. We saw how God kept reminding Abraham of his covenant, that he would keep his promise. Then he spoke to Isaac, and even with Jacob, he did it on several occasions. And then, as we read earlier in Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 and 2, he reassured Jacob to go to Egypt and to not be afraid, but to go because he would make him into a great nation, and that he would bring him back, and that Joseph would close his very eyes, and everything happened as God said. As far as being a great nation, we will see that come to fruition in following episodes, but I can tell you now, because I've read the entire Bible several times, God never breaks his word. Whatever he promises, he fulfills. We have seen how the previous generations of men who had a personal relationship with God saw the hand of God at work and how he fulfilled his promise. Know this, mighty warriors. When you place your trust in God, you will never be disappointed. I will end with the following passage of Scripture, Psalm chapter 138, verses 1 and 2, which says, "I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name. For your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul." Lord God Almighty, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our brains are simply too limited to understand your ways. It is beyond our understanding. And yet, through your word, we discover how you have faithfully worked all things for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purposes. There is no plan, no scheme that will ever shake your purposes. You have foreseen everything. And I pray, Father, that this would be our comfort, that you are sovereign, that there is nothing that escapes you. Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us. but you are always there with us, and you are familiar with all our ways. King David said it so well in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 7 through 12. Where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we make our beds in the depth, you are there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn, if we settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide us. Your hand will hold us fast. If we say, surely the darkness will hide us, and then the light becomes night around us, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. God, everything is bare before you, and you are well acquainted with all our circumstances. I pray you comfort those who are listening right now. Help them understand that although bad things do happen to good, innocent people, we live in a broken world where people are rebelling and refusing to walk in your ways. Help them to change their attitude and use their setbacks as stepping stones. And in the midst of that, strengthen their faith and show them all throughout the scriptures that you, God, have kept your word. Time and time again, you have shown yourself to be a faithful God who keeps his word, and you have never failed any of us. I thank you for all of this and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Precious ones, it has been quite a journey to follow Joseph's story. And now that Joseph has passed away as well as Jacob, we are now continuing on with the children of Israel. Who is Israel? This was Jacob. Jacob's name, as you recall, was changed from Jacob to Israel. And of course, we've been using his name, Jacob, interchangeably with Israel. But now, all his descendants will be known as the children of Israel, or the Israelites. So, the nation of Israel is in Egypt. And we will talk a little bit more about what happened and how their lives changed after the death of Joseph. But until then, I will say to you, have a wonderful week and take good care of yourself. God bless you. Bye now.